LinkedIn News.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
LinkedIn News is out with our latest roundup of top companies, which is a collection of employers judged across several metrics, including their employees' ability to advance, skills growth, and much more. Today, we're hearing from the head of HR for the top company after the break. From LinkedIn News, this is Get Hired, a podcast for the ups and downs and the ever-changing landscape of our professional lives. I'm Andrew Seaman, LinkedIn Senior Managing Editor for Jobs and Career Development, bringing you conversations with experts who, like me, want to see you succeed at work, at home, and everywhere in between. What makes a top company? Well, here at LinkedIn, we say it's a company that creates an ability to advance for its in-demand employees, encourages skills growth, has stability, has gender diversity, and has a mix of talent in terms of education. In the U.S., JPMorgan Chase & Company topped out our list, moving up from the third spot on last year's list. They are followed by Amazon and Wells Fargo, which both moved down one rank to second and third, respectively. To hear what they do on the ground to make themselves a top company, I'm joined today by JPMorgan Chase's Robin Leopold, who is Executive Vice President and the Head of Human Resources. She helps lead a workforce that spans 48 states and 70 countries. Here's Robin.
We have 310,000 employees, and they reside across three different business units. So think about the consumer business credit card, our Chase businesses, the commercial and investment bank, as well as our asset and wealth management business. But those are three big business units that are backed up by people in our operations areas, our call centers, our technology teams, our human resources teams, our finance teams. So we have an array of businesses. And I think when people think of a bank, they have one mindset, but they really have to think way more broadly about how does that work get done? There are people behind the scenes that actually are making all of those things happen for our customers at the end of the day.
And obviously, there's so much more to JPMorgan than traditional banking. So what would you say is going on behind the scenes? I assume you're almost like a tech company at this point, right?
We have 53,000 technologists at our company, so we employ people who are doing coding, traditional coding, but we are definitely in the AI space and have been for a good many years. We have people who are spending time coding for our customers on the front line, our payments businesses, and we employ people in technology, software engineers, designers, all around the globe.
Yeah. And what do you think makes JPMorgan Chase a top company that people want to work at?
It is definitely our people. When I describe our company, I think about the heart that we have. Our culture is incredibly special. Our leadership is deep. And our people really do show up and try to do the right thing every day for our customers, but equally for each other. So we are a culture that loves to collaborate.
So what are some of the skills and traits that you look for in people? Because I assume AI is something that you're becoming more interested in.
We definitely are interested in it and have been using AI for years. But put AI aside for a minute. It is way bigger than your technical competence. We are interviewing for people who are curious, who are interested about what the work the team is doing. So I do think it is way more than technical competence. It is about whether or not the individual fit into our culture. Our culture is part of our secret sauce. Last year, we introduced our values. Our values are anchored in things that have existed long before we actually named them. And when we named them, it was service, it's heart, it's curiosity, it's courage, and it's excellence. Those are five words that were developed after hundreds of interviews. And I think that that sums up who we are as a culture and who we want to hire that actually fits into our company.
When you talk to people too, I assume one of the questions you ask is, why do you want to work here? What are the other things that you hear about why people want to work there?
It has to do with the impact that you can make on the community. People don't often think about how they're impacting the lives of others. And at JPMorgan Chase, we actually talk a lot about how we're showing up to help others. And we have lots of different programs that actually illustrate that. It may surprise you that 10% of the people that we hired last year, we hired them with a criminal record. So we have a real effort around our clean slate policy stance, as well as our second chance hiring. We are welcoming people into our company who have had a bad experience in their past. And we have found that they come into our company, make real impact, and have, you know, lasting careers with us. Our reentry program, people who have taken a career break, maybe it's a couple years out for whatever reason, and we open our doors and welcome them back and put a little bit more resource around them so that they can hone their skills and really grow their career. And that program specifically just celebrated our 10th anniversary as part of the reentry program. And we have a handful of them who have made it from returning all the way up to managing director.
When you're looking to bring talent in, what qualities do you look for? What are the traits when someone sits down in front of you that you're like, is this person right for JPMorgan Chase?
Yeah, it really is around, will they fit into the team? How did they show up for the interview? Were they prepared? Were they curious? Do they represent our values? What's the need of the team? What's the diversity of the team? How do we make sure that we are hiring the skills that we need to really be additive to the team? So it's not an entirely, you know, well-scripted answer, but we really are looking broad and we're looking at lots of different experiences that people can bring and have really long-lasting careers at our company.
That's great. And one of the things you mentioned also in that answer is diversity. And I think a lot of times there are different industries with different track records when it comes to diversity. You know, tech has it, you know, finance has it. So how do you make sure that you're diversifying your workforce and also keeping it diverse across every spectrum?
So we definitely start with the premise of we believe a more diverse workforce makes for better outcomes. So we think about it from the communities in which we serve. We definitely think about it from not just a race and gender perspective. We think about it as diversity of thought, global, and we really do work at it. So what gets measured gets progress. So there are things that we feel really proud about. You mentioned diverse slates. It is around making sure that the diversity of each team is made up with the best talent and the diversity of thought.
Got it. And I assume that the footprint of your company also helps in terms of the different communities that you're in, and you can draw from those places for talent, right?
So we definitely hire local as best as we can, but it really matters that we are hiring within communities. We have had a real commitment to Detroit over the last 10 years, more than 10 years. And it is wonderful to see how our company showed up, and not just with money. We put in programs and support of leadership and giving them advice and ideas. But more recently, we just celebrated our 1-year anniversary, we stood up a virtual call center in Detroit. And what we're seeing in Detroit, we hired local, very diverse group of people. We are seeing their performance really excel.
And something else that I was wondering is, when it comes to diversity, obviously there's also diversity of backgrounds, like I said, with institutions. Has JPMorgan Chase, and I know this is sometimes limited because sometimes people need certifications, but have you been able to open your ranks to people maybe with like non-traditional backgrounds, like without maybe bachelor's degrees or things like that?
Absolutely. It would surprise your listeners to know that more than 70% of our roles that are posted out and available jobs don't require a college education. So of course we go to campuses, but that is not the vast majority of where we hire from. We have the benefit now of our ability to actually recruit in a much more digital way all around the country, associate degrees, non-traditional backgrounds. We really have been able to identify talent in all spaces and places. And I think it actually is making our company stronger.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, obviously, I know that hiring differs depending on the role, but what do you hope the hiring process is for candidates and people who eventually join JPMorgan Chase?
I hope it's easy and I hope it's fast. As a candidate, you want to feel welcome and you want to have an experience from the beginning, from when you apply for a job and when you start, is as short of a window period as possible.
It's funny because when I tell them that companies want to get them through the hiring process quickly, they always think, no, that can't be true because I go through so many interviews. And I'm like, no, they really do want to get you in there as fast as possible.
Yeah. My opinion on why we over-interview, sometimes it's to make sure we're adding skills to the team that we don't have. So the hiring manager may have already made the decision to hire someone, but it is around the fit for the team. So I would like to say that we don't over-interview. I know we do, but the speed at which we really want to get people through so that they have a good first impression.
We'll be right back with JPMorgan Chase's Robin Leopold.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Fields. Tune into my podcast for conversations about the sweet spot between work, meaning, and joy. And also listen to other people's questions about how to get the most out of that thing we call work. Check out Spark wherever you enjoy podcasts.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and so many tools to keep track of. Doing business can be hard, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot. Their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
And we're back with Robin Leopold, who is Executive Vice President and Head of Human Resources at the top company on this year's LinkedIn Top Companies list for the US, JPMorgan Chase.
Something I'm always interested in is, has the hiring process changed? Obviously, technology advances and tools advance, but has the hiring process really changed at all, really, especially since the pandemic and anything like that where you sort of say, we do things differently now?
Going back to the pandemic, I think the answer is yes, right? With the introduction of Zoom and more digital capabilities, I think you are reaching a broader audience. We certainly have roles where we're using more digital assessments of people and video interviewing. So it has continued to become a bit more digital. My opinion, however, is that more often we are welcoming people into the workplace so that they actually see and feel the company. You're just not going to get the same feel through a Zoom interview. So we are having more dialogue now about at what stage in the process do we bring people in for that final assessment and interview. And I think you can have the best of both, the broad digital capability or the assessment, and then welcome people in so that they can have a sense of the culture.
And when it comes to bringing people into your culture, what would you say the onboarding experience is like? Because I think I hear from a lot of people where, you know, they're super excited to get a job and then they get to the onboarding experience and maybe that's where things sort of start falling apart for them.
I think onboarding is probably one of the most important journeys that we have to continue to improve. So it's not just the speed of the process. It's how do you welcome them, our employees, into the company? And I think in many parts of our company, we do it really well. You have a buddy. You have an orientation. You learn about the site and the facility and all the unbelievable amenities that are available to you. And I think in other areas, I think we can do it better. One of the things about JPMorgan is we're very reflective. We know we do not get everything right every day. And onboarding is one of those things, that first impression after they got that offer, they're super excited to show up. We want to make sure that they are continuing that halo into their first 30, 60, 90 days.
And obviously, you know, LinkedIn top companies, they look at different metrics, you know, within a company and their employees. And I know one of them is sort of their advancement within a company. And you mentioned there are people who can start as a teller and then go up to like a district manager. How do you promote that? Because obviously, I think just organically, there's always that competition within human ecosystems where people are worried that they might be too ambitious. So how do you encourage people to step up and make sure that they're all sort of progressing as much as they want?
So on average, 30% of our employees at JP Morgan Chase have been with the company more than 10 years. So nice tenure at the company. If you think about the pandemic and 2021, crazy resignation, the hiring that was happening, we have a lot of people who are far less tenured at our company. So really making sure that people understand that there's no one pathway. I mentioned the teller who becomes a personal banker, who may become a branch manager, a district manager. Like, that's a beautiful path. Mm-hmm. But that teller may also want to wind up in the headquarters office, which is also an available path. Sometimes people need to really understand what is available to them. And we have our internal career website. We have lots of networking opportunities for people. We showcase people and their paths so that people understand what is the art of the possible so that they don't pull themselves out of a process. They don't pull themselves out of an ambition because they think it's too far away.
Yeah.
And we storytell. I mean, telling stories is just such a beautiful way to let people know that they can achieve. I'll give you one stat and one unbelievable story.
Great.
So last year, 25% of our managing directors that were promoted started as analysts at our company.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's a wonderful stat and wonderful for us to showcase that our people can actually progress over a certain period of time. I think the average tenure for that class was 12 years. So those are nice promotions along the way. My new favorite story was last week. I was in London sitting with a group of fairly new MDs. They were promoted last year and we're doing proper intros. And this one woman said to me, I've been at the company 20 years. I was promoted last year to managing director, but I started in the deli canteen. And I thought I didn't hear her right. And I'm like, where did you start? And she's like, I was in the deli canteen giving sandwiches and coffee. And she's like, and I spoke Spanish, French, English, and one other language. And I got to know the employees of JP Morgan. And one day, somebody approached me and asked me if I would be interested in considering a role in banking. And the woman said, I didn't know anything about banking, but I had the language skills. Mm-hmm. And I took a leap. And 19 years later, I'm a managing director at JP Morgan.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable story.
Yeah. And also what I like about your approach to storytelling is that you need to have the element of sort of buy-in from the person, because a company can do whatever it can to help them along their journey. It can offer them courses. It can show them the path. But also you have to have that person that takes that leap, or you have to have that person who will say, no, I want to go for that position.
You need motivation.
Yeah.
You need interest and curiosity. You need to have the resources available, which certainly we do. And we have a lot of opportunity to provide people with.
And another part of the top company's sort of equation is that your employees are sought after. So people are reaching out to them and saying, hey, you're doing great where you are, but would you like to come over to our side? Because obviously there are people who you may want to retain, but also it is a risk of being a great employer and attracting great talent is that other people want your talent. How do you navigate that?
It's about the work and the impact. I mean, when you think about the younger generation, they want purpose and they want to feel like their work is important and has meaning. And I think it has to do with the culture. I think it has to do with the manager and the way in which the manager leads and, quite frankly, the team, and really making sure that teams are healthy and collaborative and enjoy each other and have fun at work. All of those things keep people, you know, showing up every day and not taking that phone call from the competitors.
Yeah. And do you do any work with an alumni program? Because I've been hearing a lot about that recently from employers.
We do. We've had an alumni program in place for about 5 years, providing information to people so they stay current about what's happening at the organization, current events, things that are happening, interesting articles. It is about getting senior people together so that they can reconnect. But one of the things that we do, and this is not at the senior levels, this is really a wonderful stat, 10% of our employees are rehires.
Okay.
So that alumni network, to your point, it's vast.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that 10% of our employees come back, A, they know us.
Yeah.
So their experience had been good and they enjoyed working with us and they're interested in returning. So we definitely think that alumni network needs to be strong because it's another talent pool for us.
Yeah, definitely. And also, as you look around at what JPMorgan Chase is doing around the globe, around the country, what are the stories that you tell or the projects that you highlight to say, like, look at what we're doing?
The global reach is phenomenal. So the stories that we're telling is about the very local story, how we helped a family in the middle of a hurricane, how we helped paint a school and build a school as a team building exercise, like how we're investing in India to make sure that we're supporting locally our employees. We have so much opportunity. But at the end of the day, it has to be relevant and you have to feel it locally. What we did in Detroit or what we're doing in Paris or actually Baltimore right now, we had such success with the virtual call center in Detroit. We started one in Baltimore. So that was a new talent pool for us. And then, quite frankly, we're paying attention to those people. Yeah. Are they in need? And we do have the means that we can be helping them.
Oh, that's great. And then something that I forgot to ask earlier is we're hearing a lot about upskilling. And what do you do within JPMorgan Chase to enable that? Because obviously, you know, people learn on the job, but they might say, I kind of want to know a little bit more about AI, or I want to know a little bit more about a different program. So how do you enable that internally?
We have a lot of training that we offer our employees. And we certainly encourage our employees to take advantage of it. You mentioned AI. AI is definitely the topic right now that everybody's talking about. And we are really making sure that our people are not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the training that we are introducing is not just for the tech data folks. It is really for the average employee to learn about it. Don't be afraid of it. Encouraging people, ChatGPT, like take advantage of what is available so that you can think differently about your own job, your own work, and how you can use these tools and technologies to actually improve your own productivity.
And I know, you know, I'm coming from a world of media and tech, and there's definitely anxiety about AI in those areas. And I assume in finance, there's also some anxiety. And I know when the annual letter, I think Jamie Dimon has talked about it being a huge game changer in terms of, you know,
like electricity.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I'm like, yeah. He threw in a bunch of examples there.
Yes.
But how do you view it? Because obviously, AI, it's here, it's growing very quickly. But if history teaches us anything, it's that technology typically creates more jobs than it eliminates. So how do you see the landscape shifting?
Don't be afraid of the change, because it is going to change jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to make people more productive. Those people who don't embrace the change will be left behind. So it is really important that people learn about it, experiment with it, and think differently. But don't resist it, because it is here to stay. It is moving incredibly quickly. And I had somebody on my own team ask me a question about AI and said, do you think AI will take the human out of human resources? And I paused for a minute and I thought, absolutely not. It's actually going to take away the work that's just manual. Like, I think it's going to make us able to be more personal and more strategic and have time spent on those things that have higher impact. So I see it as such an opportunity for workers in general, and encourage people to just learn about it and don't be afraid of it.
Yeah, and possibly actually lean more into the human side of everything too, because that's what the AI can't do.
You're going to need the ability to have intelligent conversations with people,
yeah.
Be comfortable speaking to people. And I think that's where you're going to actually grow. That EQ side of your brain is just going to become more and more important.
So for people who are looking to work at JPMorgan Chase, either at the local level or maybe higher up, what is your advice to them as job seekers?
Okay, so let's talk about how you show up and be prepared for an interview. So first of all, start at the career website so that you understand what the company does. Are you passionate about what the company does? Then when you're preparing for the interview, maybe you know somebody who does a job similar to that role, so it would be good for you to have a conversation with them so you get a better feel for the work. But when you show up, be prepared. have a set of questions that you want to ask the person or team of people that are interviewing you, because it shows your preparation, your focus, your discipline, your interests, your curiosity, and ask about what does success look like 6 months, 12 months down the road. So really invest the time to prepare, because it will pay dividends after you spend the time through the interview process.
Yeah. And also, I assume, because we're talking about top companies here, maybe you're not interviewing at JPMorgan Chase or even in the banking industry. That's your way to know whether a company aligns with what you're looking for, right?
100%. You're marketing yourself to the team of people that you're meeting with. So you want to be, you want to come across likable. Likeability matters. And how you express interest in what they do, how they do it, I think it's all part of the process of being interviewed and really demonstrating your interest in the team and what you think you can do to contribute to the team. That's really how you need to approach an interview. It's a little bit of prep. It's a little bit of selling yourself in the process. And it's a little bit of luck at the end of the day.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you very much.
That was Executive Vice President and Head of Human Resources at JPMorgan Chase, Robin Leopold. If you're leaving today's conversation with a new learning to apply to your job search or career, I'd like to invite you to write about it in a review on Apple Podcasts. Our team really enjoys reading what you learn from our shows. Plus, it helps other people discover our community. Speaking of community, remember that we're always here, backing you up and cheering you on. Connect with me, Andrew Seaman, and the Get Hired community on LinkedIn to continue the conversation. In fact, subscribe to my weekly newsletter that's called, you guessed it, Get Hired, to get even more information delivered to you every week. You can find those links in the show notes. And of course, don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button to get our podcast delivered to you every Wednesday, because we'll be continuing these conversations on the next episode, right here, wherever you like to listen. Get Hired is a production of LinkedIn News. This episode was produced by Alexis Ramdow. Grace Rubin is our associate producer. Asaf Gidron engineered our show. Joe DeGiorgi mixed our show. Dave Pond is head of news production. Enrique Montalvo is our executive producer. Courtney Koop is the head of original programming for LinkedIn. Dan Roth is the editor-in-chief of LinkedIn. And I am Andrew Seaman. Until next time, stay well and best of luck.